Hey, everybody, and welcome to Coffin Talk, Interviews with the Living. My name is Mike Oppenheim, and this is a weekly podcast that explores how our views on death affect the way we live our life. This week, coming to us from New York, is Mr. Cyrus Xavier. He's worked for 30 years at New York's busiest hospital as an administrator, and on weekends is Cito the Clown. He became Cito the Clown about 25 years ago when he was visiting sick children and geriatric patients on his time off. He's now taught and traveled all over the world for the art of clowning, and I'm very, very excited to have him on the show today. Welcome to the show, Cyrus.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Thanks. Really, really excited and happy about being here and joining the podcast.
Yeah, and you're an awesome get. My brother has been talking about you for years. I believe the way you know my brother is he taught your son. Is that correct?
That's true. That's true. He taught my son in high school, and my son was always a big fan of your brother. And it's funny because now my son is 23, and he just got his commercial pilot license, so he's working with Delta. So it's amazing. It's just amazing how, you know, changes in life.
Yeah, that's so cool. And that must be so interesting to, like, teach a young high school student, and now he's flying commercial jets. That's so cool. Congratulations, by the way. That's awesome.
Thanks. Thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's get a little bio information from you. How old are you? Where did you grow up? And what generation, if any, do you think you're a member of?
Wow. All right. Born and raised in Levittown, Long Island. I'm 54 years old. I'm 54 years old, born and raised in Levittown, Long Island, moved to Queens, Maspeth, Queens, and went to high school, Grover Cleveland High School in Ridgewood, and pretty much started working at Elmhurst Hospital. I had no intentions. I was young. I had no intentions of really staying there. It was something, you know, I've always wanted to be a restaurant manager. That was my thing that I wanted. And being a restaurant manager and working in the hospital is like two different things, you know. But I realized it was dealing with the public and making people happy. I mean, working in a restaurant, you make people happy by serving food, right?
Yeah.
And then working in the hospital, you make people happy by seeing that they get better.
That's so funny. I was a restaurant manager for 7 years, and I've always wanted to work in healthcare, and I volunteered at hospice, but I never actually got my CNA or any other degree. So that's fascinating. We're kind of like in the opposite.
The opposite.
Yeah. I agree, just even from my limited experience in healthcare, they're very similar, actually. And as everyone knows, if you have a crappy server or a crappy health care worker who's in a bad mood, it affects every part of your experience. So
absolutely. Yeah. You're absolutely right about that.
That's cool. And wow, I mean, that's just incredible. So I love Queens, by the way, because my brother was there for many, many years. Are you still in Queens?
Yeah, I'm still in Queens. I'm in College Point, Queens is where I reside now. Cool. Bought a house, I guess, maybe like around 17 years ago. And that's where I live. You know, I still I have a 23-year-old son. My 19-year-old daughter, who goes to NYU, she studied in London last year. This year, she had to do Manhattan. Next year, she wants to do Spain. So she's with NYU. And then I have an 11-year-old. Don't know how that happened, but I have an 11-year-old.
That's awesome. Well, I just had my third kid, so I definitely can understand. We're like literally 2 weeks and 2 days ago, so you can imagine where I'm at.
Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations.
That's awesome, though. And also NYU, that's a huge accomplishment. Wow. So back to you. I guess the first question I do want to ask, how did you come up with the name Cito the Clown?
So, all right. So just going back to my history. So my father passed away about 3 years ago. My father was Iranian and my mother was Ecuadorian. They both met two different parts of the world. They met in Newtown High School in Queens. So my father had a heavy accent. You know, if you say Cyrus in English, in Farsi, it's Cyrus.
Ah.
Cyrus. So when my friends used to call me and say, can I speak to Cyrus? My father would say, yeah, Cyrus, you know, Cyrus, Cyrus. So my friends kept hearing Cito, and they were like, why is he calling you Cito? So Cito became a nickname. Since I was a little kid, Cito was my nickname. So even my family would call me Cito.
That's,
you know, they
awesome.
To this day, they still call me Cito, thanks to my father's heavy Iranian Persian accent.
That's great. I love it. And actually, I should have mentioned this a long time ago, but so I was born in 1981, and my first birthday party I ever remember, my dad got us a clown, and it was the best. Like, I just want to throw that out there that I hear that clowns are not as popular today. I'm assuming social media has something to do with that awful trend. But even if that's not true, I just wanted to let you know that it was one of my favorite memories from my childhood. It was blew my mind. I ended up getting into like magic and entertainment and stuff, and I'm absolutely sure it was had a positive impact on me, because to this day I love comedy and I love like laughter and just, you know, celebrations. So so I wanted to throw that out there, because as I ask you questions, I just want you to know that all of these questions come from a place of deep enthusiasm.
Wow, awesome, awesome. I mean, my father actually owned a restaurant in Long Island, and it was funny because there was a clown that would show up. And he would come like once a week in his costume, I guess after he did his gig or show, and he would show up to my father's restaurant, and he would start, like, you know, he would have his lunch, and he would start blowing up balloons. And a lot of times I was like the only kid there. Sometimes there was a couple of kids there, but he would just sit there and keep blowing up balloons for me. And I was like, can you do another one? Can you make me a sword? Can you make me a door? Can you make me this? And you know, and a poor guy just wanted to eat his lunch, and I'm disturbing him. And I'm like, he's probably saying to my father, listen, charge me, but get your son away from me. I don't know. but I think that was a strong impact on me, because that's my like childhood. Some people say, hey, I remember, you know, my father bringing me a clown when I was young. It was great. It was awesome. Me, I don't remember any time having a clown for my birthday party. Mm. You know, the only memories I have, like I said, was being in a restaurant and this clown showing up and making me balloons and doing funny tricks.
That's so cool. So these questions, I'm going to jump around, but this kind of reminded me, what do you do if and when, I'm assuming it has happened in your 25-year career, when you encounter someone who has a fear of clowns, since that's like a thing?
Hey everyone, if you're a fan of the show, please head over to MikeyOp.com and click the subscribe button. It's the best way to support us, and it's free. That's MikeyOp.com. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. That's definitely a great question, because my thing is, you know, we all have fears, right? Mm-hmm. We all have certain fears. Some people don't want to fly a plane. Some people don't want to ride in a train. Some people don't even want to learn to drive a car. We all have these fears. But my thing is, as an entertainer, you know, and I think because working 25 years with the public, you get to really feel the crowd. You know who's who, who's what, and what to do and what not to do. You know what I mean? You know, if it's a Muslim party, you don't go and grab and try to, you know, put your hand around a kid or a girl or the mother. You know, you keep your distance. So as far as, you know, you get to really know the do's and don'ts and what to do, what not to do. Getting back to your question, the main thing that I do, Mike, is I tend to not engage them. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to make eye contact with them, right?
Yeah.
So I really want them to know, hey, this guy is safe. Why are they afraid of me? Because they're afraid I'm going to do harm to them. They're afraid I'm going to do something evil. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something bad. But when they see the interactions of the other kids, you know, even the adults laughing, then they feel safe. But you can never, and I tell this straight out to the parents. When the parents tell me, hey, I'm just going to let you know, my son is a little bit of afraid of clowns, or my daughter, that gives me the thing that I know in my mind, right? I got to stay away from that kid, and I got to find a kid or you know, and a kid that's not afraid of me, that I can show that kid that, hey, look, it's okay. You know what I mean? You can laugh. You can have fun. I don't have to look at you. I don't have to touch you until you'll see. Mike, a lot of times that's my way of doing it. And by the end of the party, the kid who's so afraid of me is coming over and hugging me and taking a picture with me. So, you know, it's definitely that's the way I handle it. Other people try to just, if you're going to run and grab that kid, forget about it. That kid's going to be crying and his birthday party is done.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was a great answer. Thank you. So what about the training to become a clown? Like, did you go to a school? Was there certification? Do you do continuing professional development?
Yeah. So what I do is I do a yearly training. I'm part of World Clown Association, which is clowns from all over the world. It's a it's an organization that we meet together once a year. Once a year, we meet together and we have lectures, we learn, we teach, and we really work hard together to promote the art of clowning.
Okay.
So it could be last year was in Florida. You know, we traveled to Florida and I try to do as many conferences as I can. I mean, you know, I've traveled all over the world. I've been to Malaysia. I've been to Hong Kong.
Wow.
You know, I've been to, so I travel. I just got back from London a week ago. You know, that was a magic convention. So, you know, I try to, you know, when you go to these conventions, you go there to really, to better yourself. You go there to learn, you know, it's not like a convention where you're going to hang out and, you know, I mean, you do have your fun. You do hang out. You know, I got to be careful because my wife's probably going to be listening to this podcast. So, but it's mainly about really learning and improving your skills.
Cool. And so speaking of skills, what was one of the hardest things early on in your career to master?
I mean, I've always been a people's person. I've mm-hmm. always been that person to make a crowd laugh. I was always a class clown, if as you want to, you know,
oh,
maybe
that's
you
funny.
Can say.
That's cool.
So it's not like, you know, when I had to learn to perform, when I first started, right, about 25 years ago, I was known as like a Latino clown that didn't speak Spanish. My Spanish was horrible, but people wanted a Latin clown. So my sell point with that was, oh, but kids nowadays speak English. You know what I mean? So yeah, yo hablo español, sí, claro, pero los niños quieren el show en inglés. You know, I do speak Spanish, but the kids want the show in English. And then the moms and dad will look at me and say, wow, you're absolutely right. Okay, as long as you're Spanish, do the show in English. And I was like,
awesome.
Ooh. And I got away with that for years until I started learning to do my show in Spanglish, you know.
Wow.
In English and Spanish.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm so glad I asked that. And I guess the next question I wanted to ask was, what's the coolest or hardest or like most popular? Well, I guess these are three questions. When it comes to magic tricks, what is your favorite one right now to perform?
So my favorite one is I make a bird appear in midair.
Wow.
And it's my own original trick, so no one does it. If they do it, it's because they copied off of me. And I don't like to say that to be cocky but I invented that trick. You know, I have mouth coils made specifically for that trick.
Wow.
Everything that I put together in that trick came from me, my idea, my thinking. And it's an amazing trick that I've been doing now for, I guess, maybe 20 years out of my 25 years. And it's been so successful that people look for it and still don't know how that bird appears. But they'll sit there and watch.
Mm-hmm.
I make the bird appear. And then the other next trick is the rabbit. The rabbit appears.
Wow.
So my thing is, I'm a magical clown.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Mike, it's funny because, you know, a magician does tricks, but he does it in a serious way, right?
Yeah.
You don't see a magician acting goofy. A magician is a very serious person wearing a nice suit, right? Where a clown can take that same trick and bring comedy into it. So my, you know, the answer to your question is, I love to do the bird trick. I love to bring comedy. I love to make people go, wow, and also make people smile and laugh.
Well, that's such a great answer, and I'm so glad you phrased it the way you did, because I'm a huge fan of stand-up comedy, like I said, and I feel like there's a lot of similarities between magicians, clowns, and comedians, which is the premise can be shared, but the nuances are unique, and like there's no way to copyright your move, but at the same time, you do deserve respect for it, and so that is interesting. Like, is there any sort of like jealousy or like awkwardness in the clown community in New York, or is it like a really friendly scene with people like amicably getting along?
I mean, we do get along. I was the president of the New York Clown Alley, and this was before the pandemic, before COVID hit. We would meet once a month at Elmhurst Hospital, and we were about maybe like 25, 30, 35 people that would meet different clowns, entertainers, magicians, balloon twisters, face painters. And we would meet and we would get along. We would learn from each other, show, you know, run by each other, funny customers, good customers, bad customers. You know, it was a learning experience. I'm going to put that together back again. I'm going to start. I just got the approval from the CEO at a hospital, and she said, that's not a problem. We can do it. We can meet. So I tend to do that, Mike, because I don't want to see that hatred. I don't want to see that, oh, I'm better than you, you're better than me. And the way I look at it is there's enough children, right? There's enough children and adults that need joy and happiness in their lives. And, you know, not one clown can take the business of all children in Queens, in New York, in Brooklyn. Right. So that's why we need to work together as a group and show each other how important it is to promote the art of clowning.
Wow. I love it. Yeah, that's really cool. And so kind of along that line, did you have like a mentor when you were becoming a clown?
I did. I had a friend of mine. He was a Spanish clown, and we were working actually in the same venue I was doing. It was a kids party place. And let me tell you, I was scary. I mean, you can compare me to it. That's how bad I was. I was wearing a Halloween polka dot costume. I was wearing sneakers. My face paint was so horrible. And I was just like, so I'm performing my show. The guy next door to me is performing his show. I finish, he finished. I go, hey, how you doing? He looks amazingly professional, clean, nice clown shoes, costume, clean makeup, immaculate makeup. And I look at him and he looks at me and he says, what are you? I says, I'm a clown. And he looked at me, he goes, and he looks from down to up and he goes, oh. He says, here's my number, give me a call and I'm going to work with you. And I said, oh, great, thanks. I found out he was one of the famous clowns in New York for the Latinos. He was a famous clown. He was in business for a lot longer than me. And he picked me up and he took me the next day. He didn't even know who I was. Picked me up in his car and drove me out to New Jersey. There was a place in New Jersey. Now, I was a little bit afraid because I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Is he, you know, is he trying to get rid of me? And then, you know, maybe I'm competing with knocking out his business. I don't know. But he grabbed me, takes me and brings me into this place and starts, all right, try on these pair of pants. I said, oh, wow, they look really nice. He goes, okay, you're going to take them. $80. Try on these shoes. I says, oh, wow, look at these shoes. These shoes look amazing. All right, you're going to take them. $150. All right, try on this shirt. I said, oh, before I said this looks amazing, I got to start thinking of how much am I spending over here. So I walked out of there with $300, spending $300. I almost cried, Mike. I almost cried. I didn't spend that much money on my regular clothes, and I'm spending money on clown clothes, right? Which I said to myself, what, you know, is this going to be something that I'm going to utilize? Is it not? Is it going to sit in my closet? I could use this $300 right now. I said, you know what? I'm going to take a gamble. I took the gamble, and that's when I started working. He started giving me the jobs and everything like that. So he has always been my mentor. He was the one that said, hey, you know, they need a clown to speak Spanish. You got to do this show. I said, Pachote, I don't speak Spanish. Don't worry. Just tell him. Just tell him that, you know, tell him that you speak Spanish and you can do it. Don't worry about it. They don't need to know that you don't speak Spanish. And that's when I got into that, what I told you before, where I said, you know, I'll see you on Espanol, but I'm not going to do my show, and I'll do the show for the kids in English. So he was my mentor. He was the one who really got me into doing what I'm doing today.
That's cool. That's awesome. And this might sound like a weird segue, but the focus of the show is meeting the meeting point between metaphysics and like normal life. And so we've been talking a lot about you being a clown and your regular life and how you have a family and their accomplishments and things like that. But you also mentioned that your father is Persian. And so I'm imagining you come from like a pretty diverse background as far as like religion and spirituality goes. So I am curious, do you currently, are you a spiritual person? Do you have any religion?
Yeah, so great question. So my father was a Muslim, but he was not a religious Muslim.
Okay.
You know, he didn't believe in Muslim. He didn't pray. He wasn't one of those that, you know, that said you have to go to a mosque. You have to, you know, my mother was Catholic. My father was Muslim. At that time, growing up in Long Island, you know, 50 years ago, it wasn't like it is now. You mm-hmm. know, it wasn't like if you wanted a mosque, you probably had to go to Brooklyn, you know, it's not like it is right now. So my father, the main thing that was so cool about my father was he's like, I just want you to believe in God. I just want you to believe that there's a God. And that if you ever need anything in life, God is always there for you. And to me, that was the main thing. You know, we were brought up pretty much as Catholics. You know, we were going to church, not really big on religion, but again, I believed in God. And my kids to this day, they all had their communion, confirmation. They were raised as Catholics. So it was a little bit tough. My father, you know, being a Muslim, being a strict Muslim, not being a strict Muslim, Muslim would have been a lot different. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would have accepted me becoming Cito the Clown, where not being a strict Muslim, he was more open to it.
Yeah, that's right? Cool. Yeah, definitely.
You know? Yeah. He was more open to it. And my father, to me, I'm telling you, Mike, my father would make me laugh. He would make me laugh. He would do these funny facial expressions. And he would like, you know, I would take a picture with my dad and I wasn't even in my clown costume. And I think I got that from my dad, where he would make these funny faces. And I'm like, Dad, you know, so now when I'm with my family, I'm with my wife and my kids and we're taking pictures, I end up doing crazy faces. And my wife looks at me and she's like, what are you doing? You're not in your clown costume. This is a regular family picture, you know. So you get to like, sometimes it's hard to make that adjustment to say, oh, wow. All right, I'm Cyrus. I'm not Cito right now. But then there's times where I say to myself, you know what? I think I'm always Cito.
Wow.
Even as Cyrus, I'm always going to be Cito. I'm always going to be that person that's going to make you happy, that's going to make you laugh, that's going to bring joy and happiness into your life. And to me, that's important.
Yeah, no, I love it. I gel very much with your worldview and the way you explain yourself and just what you're doing with your life. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you work in healthcare and you do clowning, because I think that they absolutely go hand in hand. And it just seems like you're really interested in what I'm interested in with this podcast, which is helping people develop a more positive worldview, because I think there's a lot of negative media and things out there trying to make us, for whatever reason, I don't know if they're trying to, but it is making us somewhat negative. So with that said, the pivotal question of the podcast that we ask every single guest, no matter what, is what do you think happens when you die? And the reason we ask it is because it usually affects the way people are living their life. So what do you think happens when you die?
Wow. So it's funny, Mike, that you asked that question. And my thing was always that when I die as Cyrus Xavier, or when I die as Cito the Clown, you know, I've always said to my wife, and she laughs and jokes around about it. And I always said, when I die, I want you to do me a favor. And she says, well, you know, I don't like to talk about this, but okay. You know, what is it that you want? And I said, when I die and you put me in the coffin, I want you to do me a favor. Bury me with my clown shoes on. I want to be put in the coffin with my clown shoes on and my red nose.
Wow.
And she said, what? What? Like, what kind of crazy idea is that? I mean, do you want to make people laugh at the funeral? And I said, well, it would be nice for people at the funeral home to really, you know, to remember me as being that joyful, funny person. But my main reason and goal of wanting to be buried with my clown shoes and red noses. So when I die and I go to heaven and I go through the gates of St. Peter's, right? They're going to look at me and they're going to know, hey, wow, this is a real live clown. And I'm there. And I'm there to just bring people joy and happiness like I did, in, you know, when I was alive, as I am going to do when I'm not.
Oh, wow. That's a great answer. And I do think I've interviewed people in mortuaries, and I actually think all of the people I've interviewed would love to have someone make that request to have the red nose and the shoes on. So I think that's really cool. I don't think the funeral industry will have any qualms with that. I guess my last question for you is, it's pretty general, but I'm sure you'll have a good answer. What's your best clown experience from your life? Like, of all the memories you have, like, what's a story that stands out?
So I would say my best clown experience is probably maybe like 25 years ago. I was working at the hospital, and on my lunch hour, I would go upstairs and visit the sick children and geriatric patients. And, you know, I would make them smile, make them laugh. I always like doing little funny magic tricks. And, you know, I would do some tricks. And there was a kid that was admitted there. He was there for like, you know, a week, 10 days. And I would always go up and visit him, make him smile, make him laugh. And then one day I go up and visit him, and he says to his father, "Oh, Dad, here comes that clown again." And I said, "Wow, clown. Like, why would he insult me? Why would he make me feel bad? I mean, I'm just trying to make him smile. I'm just trying to make him happy, you know." And, you know, he just called me a clown. That's kind of insulting. And then, Mike, I thought to myself, and I said, wow, if that's what a clown does, if a clown is able to make someone take away their pain and suffering for a minute, for 5 minutes, for a half hour, if that's what a clown is able to do, then that's what I want to be. I knew I wasn't a doctor, I wasn't a nurse, but if I could take someone's pain and suffering away, that makes me a better person, a better human being. And that's where I became Cito the Clown.
Wow. That's very deep. That's provocative and wonderful. And wow, this has been such a fast interview. It flew by. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you do what you do. I'm really touched and honored that your son studied with my brother. My brother's one of my favorite people in the whole world, and it's cool to finally meet you. He really has been telling me about you for a long time.
Yeah, Sam is awesome. I love Sam. He's a great guy. I'm so blessed to really how things happen in life, and you know, and how, you know, I was able to meet him, and how my son was, he was able to help my son. Listen, everything that happens in my son's life, you know, he owes it to all his previous teachers and people that were in his life. I mean, you know, I don't want to say, oh, people say, oh, you did such a great job raising your son. You know what it is? It comes down to everyone doing their part. And your brother was definitely part of my son's influence.
Well, that's so awesome, and it's so touching to hear that, and I cannot thank you enough. To everyone at home, if you live in the New York City area, you can find Cito the Clown, and you can definitely try to book him, so please do so if you live there. And if not, I hope you enjoyed this interview, and I hope you've been enjoying the Coffin Talk podcast. The best way to support our show is to head over to MikeyOpp.com, that's MikeyOpp.com, and sign up for the weekly newsletter that announces the podcast and has some fun, humorous philosophy from yours truly. To everyone listening at home, once again, my name is Mike Oppenheim. You have been listening to Coffin Talk, and we will see you soon.